Yes, and it is time once again to check in with the Courtside Crossover with Chris Partee. This is episode 135. Appreciate you joining us. Go ahead, check us out on Spotify, Podbean, and anywhere else you find your podcasts. Check me out on Instagram, Twitter, and Blue Sky at Chris Partee. All right, definitely want to get into the NBA playoffs. It's heating up. We're in the second round. Got a couple teams down in 2-0 holes. We'll check in on that. Also check in on Patrick Beverley and his recent incident. Well, he had two incidents. One, he threw a ball at a fan in the, sitting pretty close to the bench, threw the ball at the fan. And then after the game, had a run in with a female reporter that was, much less than a good look for him. He's been suspended. We'll talk about that. Also got Big Baby Davis and his sentencing. Jokic and MVP number 3 for him, and whether or not, you know, that was warranted. Some of you think it should have been SGA, somebody else. We'll get into that. And also Frank Vogel was axed on Thursday by the Phoenix Suns, and I think most of us saw that coming. First, I want to get into Patrick Beverley and his antics. He's been suspended by the NBA. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, is that enough? Is that enough? Because Patrick Beverley, I mean, you can say what you want about. Let's talk about first the incident that happened on the court where he throws the ball at the fan. Milwaukee, game 6. Actually, he was in Indiana. They lost to the Pacers. He's frustrated. This team just hadn't got it together all season. He goes to the bench. Fan heckles him. Now, we don't know what the fan said, but to throw the ball, and then the fan threw it back, and he throws it at him again. So we knew right there was a suspension coming or something. Fine, suspension, something, right? Then in the locker room, he basically tells a female reporter that, you know, if she hadn't subscribed to his podcast, then he does not want to hear for. All right, hold on. Let me get my man Spencer in here real quick. Spence, what's happening? I don't have my camera on today, but it's good to see your face, man.
What's up, man? How you doing, bro?
Hey, we out here. We just trying to make it happen, brother. How you doing?
Making it happen by rapping. What's up? I'm chilling.
I know you saw what happened with Patrick Beverley, right? I know you've been
suspended lately. 4 games.
I suspended 4 games. Right. Did you actually see the incident or incidents that happened?
I mean, I had seen he threw a basketball at folks in the stands, right?
Yes, he threw the basketball at the fan. And then he had the run-in with the female reporter after the game where he basically told her, if you haven't subscribed to my podcast, don't talk to me. Like, don't.
You know what? Yeah. I low-key can't hate on him for that. Subscribe to my podcast. Wake up and win. What's up?
I get it. But come on, man. Like, that's what we're doing now? Like, really?
No. He's out of pocket for that, for
like,
sure.
Come on. I know you don't agree with that, but it's like, come on, dog. Like, I don't know. A lot of the stuff he does to me is real clownish. I'm sorry. It just is. You remember a couple years ago when Minnesota won the play-in game, the celebration he went on. He threw the ball at Chris Paul's back, and I'm not a Chris Paul fan by any means, but he threw the ball or pushed him in the back a couple years ago when the Clippers got beat in the playoffs by the Sun. Like, just stuff like that. I'm so tired of Patrick Beverley. I'm not going to lie. Like, give me your thoughts on Patrick Beverley, and do you think this suspension is fair? I mean, it's 4 games. We know the NBA's history with fans and players. So, I mean, is this enough to you? It's 4 games?
Well, you know, he's not a marquee guy. He may talk like he is.
He thinks he is.
I think that matters, Chris.
I'm going to give you that. It does matter. In his mind, though, I believe he thinks he's a star. I really do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you hear how Nick Wright lambasted him?
I saw that. I did. I mean, he went in for like 4 minutes.
I think that was a little much. I mean, you're still talking to a guy that plays a sport professionally and you don't, which I try to consider when I levy criticisms at basketball players. But with Patrick Beverley, the points that he was making were like really the way they were pertinent to me is like, bro, you're not good like that for real. You know what I mean? Like, you're just not good like that for real. And also, This is what it boils down to for me, man. And I've had this conversation on my podcast with Devon Pouncey. Shout out to Devon.
Shout out to Devon.
Like, a lot of these guys feel like, okay, I have all this money and I have this platform and I'm an NBA guy, which by default, even if you're Patrick Beverly, you're going to get a lot of eyes on you.
Of course. You're an NBA.
But you're a competitive athlete. You should understand that this is a competitive sport too. And so when you open yourself up to playing that game, now whether you think Nick Wright was out of line for saying what he said, or you think it's laughable that, say, you and I, for instance, are talking about it now, it's like, that's the game you're playing now, bro. And yeah. A lot of these guys think that just because they're really, really good at basketball, that they're going to be really, really good at other stuff. And it's like, no, big dog. No, you're just not. I mean,
now, let me ask you this. Do you think there's any possibility that he did? I guess I'm talking about the on-court incident first on the sideline with the fan. Do you think there's any chance that, so he threw the ball once, the fan threw it back, then he threw it again. Do you think there's any chance he's thinking, okay, this may go viral, this is good for my podcast? And then same thing with the incident with the, because then, you know, with the female reporter in the locker room, he's saying, you know, if you haven't subscribed to my podcast. Now, I don't know if there's history behind that with him and this reporter. There could be. Who knows? I mean, because he didn't ask anybody else that. And now we only saw a clip. So, you know, like all we can go off of is what we saw. There could be more to that. So I'm going to give him that at least. I still don't agree with what he did. I thought it was BS how he singled, you know, one person out like that. But do you think there's any chance he's doing some of these things now because he does have a podcast? And, you know, when you act outlandish, that'll get you listens and get you downloads and things like that, especially if you're already an NBA star.
I mean, I know where your head's at with that for sure. I mean, I feel like if you're Pat Beverly, you got to think that the writing is on the wall a little bit in terms of your career. Everywhere that you go, you know, you seem to create static, not only among, you know, like the relations between you and reporters, which, I mean, I think that's been well documented even before this incident, which, I mean, that was just cold disrespect. That was just straight disrespect. Like, he didn't have a point to stand on. I think he was just frustrated and he decided to take his frustration out on this reporter who, you know, in terms of like publicity, she probably got more good pub out of that than he did.
Possibly. Yeah.
I mean, just because it's like, look, what you're doing is you're trying to direct people's eyes to go and hear your podcast. And yeah. People don't stick around to your podcast or your whatever, your media outlet that you're doing if you're not good. And we're in this stage where a lot of guys are thinking, all right, well, I can get off and I can have a viable career talking basketball when I'm done playing. And it's like, yeah, but you got to be good at talking, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be good at talking, bro. And good at talking is not just like, oh, I can articulate, you know, in-depth analysis about the game of basketball, or I'm funny. It's like, there's a likability aspect to that, right? And Patrick Beverly has shown that in his professional career so far from a basketball standpoint, that he is not necessarily the most liked. And that isn't coming from me because I'm indifferent. I don't care. I don't know him. But it's like everywhere you go, you get removed from that team pretty quickly. And I would say a lot of the times it doesn't even have to do with the fact that you aren't winning, which is also worth mentioning.
Yeah. You know, I mean, just, you know, speaking of what you said there and from the point of view of someone working, you know, in the industry in different capacities and just being a fan, he doesn't come off as very likable a lot of times, right? I'm not saying that he's not, and I'm not saying, I know there are teammates that do like him, but he's one of those players where we hear guys say, you know, you love him if he's on your team, but when you go against him, you don't like him very much. You know what I mean? Like, he's one of those guys that he's an annoyance at times. You know what I mean? So, and I'm not saying that he's not, you know, in real life or, you know, social media, not everything on social media is real, but I'm just, you know, in real life, I'm not saying he's not a good guy to those that are around him, things like that, but he kind of comes off as a jerk sometimes. He does. He really does. Right. That's me saying that. Like, that's me giving my opinion. I'm not putting that on you, Spence. I'm saying he comes off as a jerk sometimes. He really does with some of these antics.
Well, I mean, you know, as far as to go back to your original question, as far as the four games is concerned, I mean, fine. Whatever, man. Four games is not going to make or break the issue that technically his current team of the Milwaukee Bucks obviously have way bigger fish to fry than the little four games that he's going to miss at the start of the season. But, man, I really think that, like, you know, a lot of these NBA guys are going to kind of just, like they're going to get washed out from this podcasting thing and just being a media person in general, because there's just so much out there that you can, there's so much content out there that you can consume. And there's already an influx of a bunch of guys that are good, like Paul George. I mean, Draymond Green, I would say that a good portion of the allure to his podcast is because he's like him or hate him, the dude is a really, really high IQ basketball cat. And so people want to hear
the
analysis of the game.
Yes. And I mean, he's already with TNT. And he's already with TNT. You know what I mean? Like, he already has a deal with TNT. So, like, he's already set up to do this on the most high level after he finishes playing.
Right. And honestly, I think that's a great, great move for him.
For sure.
And I think if you're Patrick Beverly, it's like, bro, you might have to start looking down the barrel of this thing. Like, you're not getting any traction in these spaces. I would have to go recheck his numbers and his podcast, but I mean, truth be told, I don't know what it's called and I haven't subscribed. And if you told me right now, bro, I probably won't push that plus. I'll be honest with you, big dog.
Yeah.
I can't bring myself there. But I will say this, Chris. You know what I do? I will say, whether or not the question of if it was enough or not, that I don't care about all that. What I care about is if you're giving four games to him for throwing a basketball at a fan, what's the punishment in terms of suspension for a guy like Jamal Murray, who's throwing shit onto the court during the actual game and disrupting?
Was it a towel he threw?
And a heat pad.
Okay, yeah, a heat pad, that's right. Yeah.
I think he threw both items, bro.
Okay.
No, but it's like, look, bro. But it's like, look. No, but for real. And it's got to go both ways, because it's like, man, just play the game, man. Just play the game.
Yeah.
What is up with all of this extracurricular to try to get clicks? And you're really real life clickbaiting right now while you guys are getting scalped out by the Indiana Pacers.
Come on, dog. I mean,
you do better. I guess that's all I say about that. And I don't think Patrick Beverly knows. And I think that when his career is over, that he's going to be in for a rude awakening if he thinks, oh, my magnetic personality is going to lead me into a burgeoning media career. I just don't think it's going to happen, bro. I don't.
Yeah, with Patrick Beverly, like, that type of thing didn't surprise me from him. From Jamal Murray, that surprised me, because we haven't really seen, you know what I mean? Like, we haven't really seen that side of Jamal Murray where he acts out like that. We've seen it from Pat Bev for years. And honestly, Pat Bev kind of had to, you know, he went the rough route. You know, he didn't come right into the NBA. He had to go play overseas for a little bit and then come in to the NBA a year or two after, you know, being in college, whatever his situation was. And he's been able, he's never been a star, but he's been a good, solid role player for a lot of years, you know, and sometimes more so than others. But Jamal Murray is a star, and, you know, and looks like he's been, you know, the last few years he's been elevating. His star has been shooting even higher, especially after winning the championship last year with Denver. But we've never really seen that type of outburst from him. Not that I can think of. Not where you're throwing, you know, items onto the court while you're not even in the game. You're on the sideline. You're not even in the game. You're throwing. So, like, that really surprised me from him.
Well, I mean, I think that it goes both ways. If you are doing stuff like that, if shit's getting thrown, excuse my language, from the bench or from the stands to the court or vice versa, everyone involved should get a timeout. That's what I think, man. I don't think that I mean, sure, $100,000 is an immense amount of money, especially from where I'm sitting. But I just don't think it's enough, man, because you can't let your frustrations, like, ruin the sanctity of the game. And I know that that sounds, like, goofy to say, but it's just, like, we don't come here. We don't, like, we don't come to watch the TNT and NBA on ESPN to see you guys act like prima donnas. We come here to watch basketball.
Yeah.
There's thousands and thousands and thousands of YouTube accounts and podcasts of people being goofy and flagrant and trying to get a rise out of people. But
yeah, too many.
You know, that's just not what we come here to see, man. If I wanted to see that, I would just watch Real Housewives, bro. See people throwing stuff and talking mess. Come on.
If you wanted all that drama, yeah, exactly. I get you. I get you there. Now, I think there may be, I don't think they'll suspend him any, you know, in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see that happening.
No.
Put him out in the playoff. But maybe at the beginning of next season, especially if they are eliminated in this series, I think we'll hear that he's going to get a game or two.
Well, I'm sorry. What did you say? You said if?
Yeah.
I thought you said when.
Oh, so you count. You got him out already, huh?
Done.
I'm not ready to go there yet, man. I'm not ready to go there. I don't count champions out like that fast. I just don't. Now, part of it could be that I haven't really believed in Minnesota and I'm trying to stick to that. But they do look great. I'm not going to, I can't take that from them. Their defense has been great all year. They look great. I'll give, even without, I'm like, what shocked me is without Rudy, they still blew him out like that.
Cause it's not me counting them out, Chris. It's them counting themselves out.
We with this type of behavior. Yeah. But I think they get game three and I think they get back in this.
Well, they're going to have to get.
Obviously, if they don't, then it's over because we've never seen in the NBA a 3-0, you know, 3-0 deficit, a team turn that around and win. We've never seen that in the NBA. So.
Yeah, but I mean, to me, the stuff that's concerning, like even the throwing of the heat pack and whatnot from Jamal Murray, like if we want to talk about like the mentality for a second, that's not necessarily even that concerning to me because it's like, you know, that competitive fire. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. You're not playing in the game right now and you desperately want to affect the outcome of the game. I get that. Maybe you can make some mistakes. The stuff that's concerning to me is that the post-game pressers, when they're asking Jokic, like, okay, so what's the plan going into Minnesota for games 3 and 4? And he goes, well, I don't know. Well, hope we can go out and put up a fight. I'm sorry. In all the years you've been watching basketball, when have you ever heard a champion talk like that?
Yeah, you know what? I've wondered about this a few different times, you know, over the past however many years. He's so nonchalant. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying you have to be intense, but when you're in a situation like this, I mean, I'm going to ask you, like, it sounds like it worries you, his demeanor, that there's not a lot of fire there. He's a great player, don't get me wrong, but sometimes when you get down like this and you're just being obliterated by a team in a series after two games, and they were at home. It's not like these were games were in Minnesota. These right. games were in Denver.
Yeah.
Like, does that worry you about Jokic that he's a little bit too laid back?
Well, I mean, I think that I give the guy credit. Like, he's obviously a generational top whatever center in the history of the game.
And three and three.
Yeah, he's current MVP. I mean, congratulations to him. A lot of people say SGA, but
yeah, you know, he was definitely in the talk. Yeah,
whatever. But for me, bro, I really think that he's a smart. I mean, he's a basketball genius. There's no way that he's not looking at that the tape of those last two games, having just played, and going that we can't beat them. They are tailor made to beat us. They got tons of length. They got size on both ends to make Jokic just have to work his butt off. He did say, you know, what do you need out there to have a better advantage? And he said something to the effect of, oh, a clone of me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I heard that.
And it's like they got Jamal Murray in a straight jacket. He's having fits on the sideline. Jokic is beat red running up and down the floor. Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon are underperforming. And then you look on Minnesota's end, all of those things I mentioned, young, fiery, long, lengthy basketball players that can shoot, shout out to Carl Anthony Towns before I get deeper into the real point, because you already know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
They, all of that, Tim Conley built a team that essentially is by design to beat a team like Denver. All of that, fine, put it over here. And then they have Anthony Edwards, bro.
Hey, he's that dude. He's that dude.
That is what the playoffs are all about. Because when the chips are down and when the game slows down, you need a guy that can go get you one by his lonely 24 seconds at a time. And Anthony Edwards is that guy. Jokic, he can't – everybody game plans for Jokic the same way. They say you can't really beat him like that because he's so good at getting his teammates involved. He can play on three levels offensively. He's not the worst defender in the world, but that's what people want, I believe, in the league when they look at beating Denver. They say, okay, if we can't beat him, he's just that good, then he has to go out and prove that. Lock up Jamal Murray. Make it difficult on these other guys to get easy baskets. Don't let them get running. And if Jokic is really the MVP, well then, big fella, you're going to have to go out and give us 40 every night like Jalen Brunson's doing in order to eke out wins. Yeah. And he's just – and I just don't think that he's able to do that. That's what I think. Not like he's not good enough, but that this team particularly is just the foil that is going to limit. He had 32 points.
In the first game.
And that was good. That's a good Jokic game. Wasn't enough.
Nope.
So I just think they're dead in the water, man. I really do.
And you mentioned it there. You mentioned two guys, Aaron Gordon
and MPJ.
Yeah, and MPJ. I mean, they got to step up, man. So to me, it really looks like, there needs to be a coaching adjustment here. But I mean, like, really, those two got to step up. And I mean, also Murray, too. Murray needs to step up. Like, if Jokic is not going to score, I mean, yeah, he had 16 points and 16 assists, I believe, or 16 rebounds, whatever it was, in game two. But if he's not scoring, usually the other stuff he does is enough. Obviously it's not. Murray, I know he's a little banged up. He's got to, Murray has really kind of been their go-to guy in the clutch. You know, they go to him a lot more. Late in games than they do Jokic. Teams are set, like you said, teams are setting up for Jokic. They want someone else to beat them. And Murray's been able to do that over the last couple of years, but like you said, in this series, it's not happening.
I attribute that to just the length. I mean, really, you got to give a lot of credit to obviously Jaden McDaniels, but also, what's his name? Nikhil Alexander Walker.
Yeah.
That kid is going to be nice, man. He's going to have a long career, and just that length is bothering them, man. Jamal Murray getting locked up and not able to even get past half court before he's in a straitjacket. Like, there goes your clutch. I agree with you. I think for Denver, I think the key to unlocking them being able to beat Minnesota is Michael Porter Jr. Because he can shoot it from distance, and he's got a big body. You can put it on the floor with a lot of athleticism. He can get downhill, too. Yeah. That's my opinion. He's the guy. He's going to have to give you 25 damn near every night, plus everybody else playing the way they're supposed to in order to beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. That to me, is the guy.
And, I mean, we haven't seen that yet, obviously. You know what I mean? But I think going back home, and obviously we all know, we hear it all the time. We hear it every year in the playoffs. Role players play better at home. You know what I mean? In a seven game series, they're going to play better at home, but we got to get one of those games in game three. It has to be game three from, Porter Jr. Right. It has to be. If they can't get one of those games, and because we know Jokic is going to do something. You know what I mean? I don't see them holding him to 16 points again. Now, I'm not saying he's going to score 40, but I don't see him. I think he only shot 5 of 13 in game two, did Jokic. Mm. He needs to be taking, for one, he needs to take more than 13 shots.
Yeah, he needs to take like 20.
Can we go there first? Your best player's only taking, I know he can do other things. I know he can get other guys the ball where they need to get it, but your best player in a series like this where you're already down by one game at home. In that game, too, he needs to take more than 13 shots. I'm sorry. He just
does. Yeah, and I think he needs to take more threes, like especially since I presume Rudy Gobert is going to be back for game three.
I mean, yeah, he was just out because, you know, his wife was giving birth. So, I mean, it's not like he was hurt. He
right, should right.
They'll have had 3 days off by that point, so he should be back.
Well, with that, I feel like, you know, obviously, I mean, he doesn't take a basketball genius. You don't want that guy guarding the rim. So whatever you can do to get him out of there, especially when he's back on the floor, that's sort of like, you know, I think that's a potential advantage for them because, I mean, first off, game one was closer than game two.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
For the Nuggets. Because when he's out there, you know what I'm saying? You got to dance with the one that brought you. So I think that for Denver, they need to look to get Jokic going offensively early. I agree with that. And they need to stretch him out and clear that lane for guys like Michael Porter Jr. to really attack downhill, Aaron Gordon to attack downhill. And then just hope that, I mean, because game one, what, Jaden McDaniels had 25. You mentioned role players playing better at home. It's like,
yeah.
Well, God forbid those guys start playing better at home. Then you're going to get avalanched.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, if I'm just going to say this and put this out there, if Minnesota wins game three, I have a lot of crow to eat because I was not very big on Minnesota earlier this year. You know, going back to even like, I guess, January, February, I thought they would fall off, and they did fall off a little bit. Towards the end of the season, they had some injuries, though. Cat was out quite a bit. They fell off a little bit. They were the number one seed for quite a while, and then they fell down to three, which obviously was good for them because this is a good matchup for them, obviously. But, yeah, if they win this game three, I got a lot of crow to eat because there's going to be a lot of Minnesota fans on my line.
I'm going to give people grace on that because I think – I mean, the two main reasons why I think people were, like, a little iffy about Minnesota is, one, Karl Anthony Towns.
And that was a big factor for me.
Yeah. Then the other one is that I think that a lot of people knew that Anthony Edwards is destined to be a superstar, but they just didn't expect all of the pieces to fit, like, excuse me, as early as they have right now.
Yeah, I mean, I've been big on Edwards for a couple years now. My thing was, we know what we've seen a lot of times in the playoffs with Rudy Gobert as well, where it's hard to keep him on the court. I thought that would be an issue again. You know what I mean? So, and then couple that with Towns and just not knowing what you were going to get from Towns in big spots like this against Denver. I wasn't sure. So those were factors for me, but obviously they've been fine even without Gobert in one of those games. I mean, they blew him out. They blew him out on the road and now they go back home with a 2-0 lead. I'm going to be interested to see if Minnesota in game three, if they come out with the attitude of we're going to put our foot on their throat, or if they're going to come out and say, oh, we got a 2-0 lead already, so, you know, we'll be fine. That's what I'm going to be interested to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's traditionally what you would expect to see from a young team that doesn't have a lot of playoff experience together as a unit. But, man, I mean, I think it's just so much – it's Anthony Edwards, bro. I mean, geez, the guy is just an absolute star. He's just – he's a stud. And he upped his game on both ends of the floor, and he did the leadership thing too. And that's where I think his reined in Cat and really maximized Cat's,
yep,
you know, role there. I mean, so I just think, you know, one thing's for sure, you know – regardless of if Denver pulls off a miraculous comeback or not, I don't think that the NBA will be missing any of these stars. I mean, I think, you know, like I was talking about earlier, we come here to see the drama of these games and the storylines of these games. And right now the young guns have got it on lock for us. They are providing excellent entertainment and I am tuned in every night. In fact, now that I'm looking at it, I'm going, oh, it actually does make sense to have the most compelling matchup in the playoffs before the finals be a Minnesota versus OKC or a Minnesota versus Dallas, because all of your young superstars are right there on the West.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And speaking of that, I think we're going through like a transition period right now where we're starting to. where we're kind of seeing, you know, the LeBrons and the Steph Currys, their teams are not, now obviously they're getting older, but their teams are not where they were 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago. Obviously when they were still like in the middle of their primes, both are still great, but they're not in the middle of their primes, in my opinion, anymore. You know what I mean? Like they're not, if not at the end, they're closer. You know what I mean? Like, I think Steph will probably play another 5 years at least, just because he's a shooter. Like he's going to be able to do that when he's 70. Still be up, not obviously not in the NBA, but he'll still be able to be a shooter basically his whole life. That doesn't really leave you. He doesn't, you know, rely on his athleticism, but their teams are not what they once were. We're seeing these younger stars, the guys you just named, SGA, Edwards, Luka. You could go down the list, and even the, you know, guys that are even younger than that. In a couple of years, we're going to be talking about Victor Wembanyama in this, you know, in the playoff. I think so. In a couple of years, I think they're going to get it built up down there, because I think he's going to, he'll probably be that good. He should be that good. If he stays healthy, put on a little bit of weight, because I think he's going to need that at some point, just a little bit, not a ton, just, you know, a little bit of muscle on him, and, you know, he'll be fine. But he's so big and rangy and can do so many things. You know what I mean? Like 7'4", 7'5", but can handle it just about like a guard, can shoot it. He can do so many things. So I think they'll be there. But I think we're going through a transition right now where the young guns are pretty much, they're taking over. You know what I mean? That's what it feels.
Yeah. And I'm not mad at it. You know, I thought I was going to be a little bit more saddened by the fact that it's like, dang, no more KD, no more Steph, no more LeBron every year, like clockwork. But it's like, nah, man, these young guys are awesome, dude. Not to mention Ja Morant is still, you know,
yeah,
he's still around. Once he gets there. And, you know,
Zion. What
it's worth, bro, you know, you mentioned like the Warriors and the Lakers and stuff. At least, at the very least, all of those teams apparently would trade their entire roster for what Phoenix has right now. So if they want to contend, they could just call Matt Ishbia and be like, hey, I'll trade my entire roster for whatever you got going on down there in the land of the sun.
Oh my God! Speaking of the land of the sun, let's talk real quick, about them. So they fired Frank Vogel today.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Oh, you didn't? I mean, this happened like when we were texting. It happened within that time, like about an hour.
Wow!
It literally just happened.
Whoa!
I think was it 1 year he was there?
Yeah,
1 year. Obviously, we know he was not the. I don't think he was the main issue there. Honestly, I think the way this team is built is a big part of the issue now. And I'm not blaming one specific person, but for one of the biggest issues, in my opinion, and you can, you know, rebut this if you like, not having a true point guard. I thought that was a big issue for them. I really thought that was a big issue for them. It's one thing to have guys that can handle the ball, but you can see a lot of times they don't really. They didn't run plays. They didn't run sets. It was one-on-one ISO. I'm going to pass it to this guy, and let's see what Devin Booker does this time. That works sometimes, but it's hard to win titles like that and really go far in the playoffs. What we've seen recently.
Yeah, well, I think it's just because everybody's so good, bro. Like, I just think that there's so many young players that come in that are already so polished from, like, a role player standpoint. I'm not saying everyone's coming in like a Devin Booker type. You know what I'm saying, skill level or whatever, but it's because guys are so good that you can't just, like, the era of the super team is all but over, especially because life moves so fast in the NBA that you're not inspiring a lot of hope to your fan base and to your team by mortgaging your future 5 to 7 to 9 years out by throwing everybody the baggie and then expecting them to just be like, well, you're superstars. You're going to go figure it out.
Yeah.
I especially like, because only the pressure that I think that ultimately the pressure that shoulders that fell on was Kevin Durant, because he was supposed to be the guy. Like, I don't care. I don't care who you are, bro. We saw it in Golden State. Like, you don't bring Kevin Durant to your team and then not have him be the guy. He was back-to-back finals MVPs. You can say it was Steph's team, and that's fine. But they knew what time it was. They brought him there to be, okay, well, we need to manufacture buckets in this playoff. in the playoff setting, we're going to give the ball to Kevin Durant. And that's what he did.
But let me ask you this, Spencer. Is he still that same player? I mean, not just looking at the numbers, just when you watch him, is he still the same player he was 7 years ago? I don't think he is. I don't think he still has the same impact. And now, obviously, I don't think this team is as good as that team was. Like that prime career team, they're not as good, in my opinion.
Well,
this
listen, Suns team, I'm also a Portland Trailblazers diehard lifelong fan. When they put Nurkic as their starting five, I was like, guys are toast. I've seen that movie. What are you talking about?
Hey, don't do Nurk like that, man. Come on.
Nurkic, but No. Nurkic would be one of the best backup centers in the league if only somebody would have the sense to just put his ass in the back.
Oh my God. I think it's the fact that he's a big body. He keeps getting, starting opportunities because there's not a lot of real true, like legit 7 foot big bodies like that anymore. Now we got a few more than we did probably 5 years ago, but it just doesn't seem like there's a ton of those anymore. Right. So I think he keeps getting those opportunities because he's that 7 foot, legit 7 foot, 260, 270, whatever he is, like real big body. I think he keeps getting those opportunities in part because of that.
I mean, shit, if you're going to look for a big body, I mean, God, go get Jonas Valanciunas would have been more serviceable to you than a Nurkic. And by the way, it's not like we don't have those big bodies. It's just all of them are shooting threes now. You don't notice them because they're not in the paint anymore, bro.
Yeah, a lot of them are shooting threes. And, I mean, there's something to be said about that. But, if you can make them like a Karl Anthony Towns. Now, I think he shoots them a little too much sometimes. He's so big and athletic. I would like to see him down low more. But when you shoot at 40% a clip, from three, it's kind of hard to say stop doing it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Greatest shooting big man in the history of the game, bro. What are you talking about?
I mean, so it's kind of hard to tell him, all right, just don't do that. And I don't think coaches do that anymore anyway. If I can shoot, he's going to say, let it go. Just let it fly. Let it fly.
Well, I just hope that this is like a cautionary tale to other teams in the league. Like,
it won't be.
Don't throw – I mean, how much are Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant standing to make next year? Like a collective $140-plus million dollars or something? Like, it's obscene.
Easily. So
it's obscene.
So do you think all three come back next year, or do they get rid of one, at least one, and try to kind of build up around the other two?
I think Kevin Durant has got to go because I'm paying Bradley Beal $50 million next year. Oh, best believe I'm squeezing every last penny out of that.
Well, no one told them they had to go out and pay that for Brad. I mean, Bradley Beal's a good player, but come on. He's a good player. Don't get me wrong. He's a good player, but come on.
No, for sure. And honestly, without Kevin Durant out there, I think they become a better team in a lot of ways because there's a lot, like you were talking about, there's a lot less like, okay, who's going to have the ball in their hands?
Yeah.
Kevin Durant, I just think he should bounce, get himself out of that situation. Devin Booker's fine. He's, I think that he's going to be a Suns fixture for a long time to come. Unless he has internal issues that we're not hearing about right now. Now, the coach just got fired. A lot of the times, it's not very long after that till we start to hear like, oh, now the players are pissed too because it turns out that the coach wasn't actually the issue. So we'll see. Only time will tell. But one thing's for sure, like I said, I think it's a cautionary tale to the league. Like, you're not just going to pay three of the top 15 guys in the league $150 million in 1 year and just go out there and waltz your way into a finals appearance. You're just not gonna. Those days are over.
Yeah, I think those days are over too, but I mean, we kind of saw something similar a couple years ago with Durant in Brooklyn.
Yeah, what happened there?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I think someone's still gonna try to do it. Like, it's a quick fix. It's an attempt at a quick fix. Let's throw these three big stars together. And let's see what we can do. But when you do that, obviously it's hard to build the depth around them and have what you really need for deep playoff runs. And we saw it in Brooklyn. We're seeing it again here with Phoenix. I don't think with 30 teams, there's going to be one owner that's like, Well, hell, I mean, at the least, you know, they'll sell a lot of tickets and, you know, maybe we get lucky. There's always going to be one of those owners that's just like, let's give it a try with the quick fix to try to get over the hump. And we see that it doesn't always work like that. It rarely works. Like the Warriors are like a rare, like that Warrior team there is a rare instance where that works.
But the reason why that happened for them is because three of their top four guys were all products of their draft. So they inherited that luxury. I mean,
exactly.
That's what I think. I mean, personally, now, I think it's because I really do. I think it's like, man, you got to give a lot of these like younger players a little bit more sort of, you know, benefit of the doubt there, because guys are coming in really good at basketball, man. And now everybody somehow is like 6'7", 6'8" with long arms. It's like, bro, like you can put a nice budget team together that's going to compete for you. I mean, even OKC, like OKC is a budget young team, second youngest team in the league, and they are doing work. They're going to be good for a long time, and they're going to be in a similar Golden State situation where it's like, we got a lot of these dudes out the lottery, bro.
Yeah, and I mean, with OKC, outside of SGA, most of their main guys were drafted there. But even with SGA, you can say he was pretty much homegrown there, because like he didn't have a chance in, you know what I mean, in L.A. Right. Yeah, with the Clippers. So you can really say, even though they didn't draft him, he's pretty much been homegrown.
Yeah, in I Oakland. Agree with that.
So, yeah, I agree. But, and that speaks to your point, they're the number one seed now this year. And it looks like they're, you know, they could be in the, at least in the Western Conference Finals, at the least. Now, I still think Dallas has a good chance in this series, but OKC's looking good, though. I can't really take nothing from them. And they're super young. God, they're young.
Yeah, average age is 25.
That's crazy.
Second youngest team in the league, right in front of the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like crazy. They're set up for fucking ever, dude.
That is crazy. What you think of the Knicks run? You think the Knicks? I picked the Pacers to beat them, but I was a Pacer fan for a long time. Reggie Miller's my favorite guy, so you know that comes with the territory. But it looks like they're probably going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. Any chance they beat the Celtics? Because we know Cleveland's not beating Boston, so we can look. We can move past that.
You know, we did a segment on the podcast on Wake Up and Win where we were doing like who's dangerous and who's not coming into the playoffs out of the, you know, the potential contender teams. And I'm kicking myself now because the one team that I said I didn't think was dangerous for a deep run was New York, by virtue of the fact that they didn't have Julius Randle. I know how Tibbs likes to run his guys into the ground.
He's still doing, yeah, he's doing that.
He's still doing that. I mean, that's not going to change. That guy ain't going to change. The two things don't change is that and his hairline, because I don't know how that dude's been the same level of bald since he was coached in Chicago, but that's a different story. I'll have to hit him up one day and figure out how he's keeping it together, because I'm barely holding on over here. That's why I got the hat on. But I'm going to tell you, bro, the Knicks look nasty, man. They got so much grit. And when it's good in the garden, it's really, really good. And it's tough to beat. It's tough to win. Yeah. And Jalen Brunson is really the guy. He's really that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can't take nothing from him. I mean, he is. Now, tell me this. Would you call him a superstar yet? Or are you holding off on that or what?
Yeah, dude, this is where the playoffs are, where superstars are made, man. He made himself one, bro. He's giving you 40 burgers every night. That team is just straight haymaker in their way through the playoffs right now. They will beat Indiana. And just because they're too tough. Boston does need to be careful. They do need to be careful because they're a type of team that can get lackadaisical really quickly.
Yes. And,
I mean, we've seen this how many times now already, Chris?
Yeah,
I've
talked about it a lot.
Where they just they're up 2-1 or up 2-0. Next thing you know, they're in a game 7 fighting for dear life.
It feels like with Boston, they let teams simmer too long. You know what I mean? Before they get the cooking done. Before they actually just finish them off. They let it simmer for too long. They do get lackadaisical. They have lapses. not even defensively, offensively, they have lapses.
Yeah, they get on cold streaks.
Especially they get on cold streaks, but I especially in close games, like late in close games, they have lapses. Yeah. Seen it the past couple of years. We saw it against the Warriors in the finals, saw it against Miami the past couple of years, even when they did beat Miami that couple of years ago. But we've seen that they will have mental lapses, it feels like, offensively. Not necessarily defensively, but offensively. And, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, I'm just still waiting for Tatum to really take that step. And it seems like every time he's right there, then something happens and then he takes a step back from like being, now I don't know. Do you consider Tatum a superstar? Like,
yeah,
like
he has to be. He has to be. Yeah, he is. Jalen Brunson too, man. He's a superstar. You know, I had to take months and months ago now, probably close to the beginning or maybe before the season started, where I said, and I still stand by this, where I said that I don't think that they're going to win a championship until Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are broken up.
I mean, you might be right. You might be right about that. You might be right. But I think since they did make it to the finals a couple years ago and they were back in the conference finals last year, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. You know what I mean? I think they, because remember, there was talk of should they be split up a couple years ago. Like, even within that year leading up to when they went to the finals against Golden State. But, you know, making it there can buy you some time, even if you don't win it necessarily, making it there. And the fact that they've been seemingly in the Eastern Conference Finals the past 5 years, like that, I think that buys you time. And because they're both still so young, so I think they're going to want to try to get the most out of them before they actually split them up. But you might be right about that.
Well, I mean, because it's like this, bro. Like, this is the way I see it. I see that the Boston Celtics are, I'm almost 100% sure they're going to make it to the finals this year. Fine.
It feels like it.
Whether or not Jason Tatum is a superstar, to me, it's not the issue. To me, the issue is, what type of superstar are you, bro?
Okay.
Because I don't care if you're going to go play Minnesota or you're going to go play OKC, and you bet not hope that you go play Dallas, because I know what type of superstar those three gentlemen are. They're the type of superstar that if it's time to go, they're going. Yeah. They're not going to have any lapses in momentum and in gumption, in offensive, you know, intensity. They're just not going to do that. Luke, you think Luka, if he gets to a finals, you think he's going to take his foot off the gas for a second? Hell no. Anthony Edwards, definitely not. No. SGA, come on, man. He's going to give you hit. He's going to give you that 30, no matter what. Kick and scream all you want. He's going to get that. And so that to me, and I think that would be a more compelling matchup for the Boston Celtics, and it would really verify their talent level to me. It's like, go play one of these young, hungry dudes and go get it from them. And then we'll talk about what kind of guy you are, bro, what kind of superstar you are. That's what that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah. You know, Boston, I mean, what they win, 64, 66 games this year? The only team to win 60 games this year. I mean, everything is set up for them to make it to the finals and really win. Like, this is set up for this to be their year. But again, when I think about what we've seen and even what we've seen at certain times, you know, this season, not so much in the playoffs, but just, you know, even during the season, they have those times where they just have these lapses and they allow teams that probably shouldn't hang around to hang around. You know what I mean? But then that's where I talk, you know, that's where I think of, you know, well, like you said, I guess what type of superstar, or if Tatum is that legit superstar? Like, can he take this team, put them on his back, and go win a championship? It's great to get there, but, you know, we talk a lot about LeBron and, you know, making it to all these finals, but he did win four, even though I know he lost six, but he did win four. And it takes a lot to do that, to put teams on your back, carry them there for years, and win titles. You know what I mean? So that's really what I want to see. Can Jason Tatum do that? Because we know it's his team. As good as Jaylen Brown is, you know, he's not the guy on this team. He's the second guy on this team. I want to see Tatum carry it, go to the finals. You know, first of all, I think they need to just sweep Cleveland and just show that killer instinct. Like, let's not let them hang around, because they have the tendency to let a team like Cleveland win an extra game that they shouldn't. I don't want to see that in this year. I want them to just show that killer instinct and say, let's just get these guys out of here. That's what I want to see first.
But see, that's the thing. Like a guy like Donovan Mitchell, like, I think he may be undersized and he may not be as, like, you know, ultimately as good as like a Jason Tatum, but that guy's got the mental for it. Like, he's probably going to get you one. I have Boston in five. Like, I think he's going to go get you one. He might drop 50 because he's got that type of mental to be like, everybody move, I'm going to go win us this game. And so I don't think that they're going to sweep Cleveland.
I honestly think they should sweep them, but if they get one, I'm not surprised, but there's no way. I'm just saying, I don't think they are in the realm to where they should get two off Boston. Because if they do, I think it's probably speaks more to Boston than them. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. Because, I also just don't like the Boston Celtics as like a team. Like, they're just not a, I've never been a fan of Boston. I like Larry Bird. That's pretty much it.
I mean, everybody like Larry Bird. How can you not like Larry Bird? Like, come on.
Of course. He was a champion. He was a killer. That's what Jason Tatum needs. That's what he needs to do, is go watch some Larry Bird tape.
I mean, that's a lot to ask, though, man. Like, I'm just going to be out. Like, it's a lot to ask him to be Larry Bird. I mean, I don't know if he had, because Larry Bird had that killer instinct. I don't know if Jason Tatum has that yet. Yeah, I still don't know. Even if you're going to call him a superstar, I still don't know if he has that. You know what I mean?
I wonder, like, because you know how there's always, like, there are certain guys. It was Pat Bev, actually. On, funny enough, what a full circle moment. Remember on that one? I forget what podcast it was, but they asked him like a series of rapid fire questions, and they were like, what percentage of NBA players do you think love the game of basketball? And he said 50%. Is this ringing a bell?
A little bit. But I mean, speaking to that, I mean, I could see that, because I don't think most of them do love it.
Yeah, I think they love to make millions, for sure.
What it does for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. But that's my question, though, bro, because it's like, with Jason Tatum, to stay on that for a second. Yeah. Like, if you go out and get one, you are still young, man. You're 26 years old, bro. You have a long career ahead of you. Like, is that the hump that you need to get over to, like, validate your career and then you're going to coast? Is that going to change your mentality? Be like, okay, I finally did it. Now I know I know the components that are required to win this. Now I can go start, you know, rattling a few off. Like, I don't know that about Jason Tatum, because I just don't think that his mentality gives me, I just think that he's too, you know, he just doesn't have that Kobe shit in him. It doesn't feel like.
Yeah. I mean, That's something that, you know, I talked about putting the Larry Bird thing on him. That's something that's even more rare is, you know, having the Mamba mentality, I guess you would call it, right? Like, it ain't a lot of guys that have that to that level. Like, that, even though, and now Kobe was one of his guys, obviously he mentored him a little bit, but that's hard to put that on him, saying, you know, does he have the Mamba mentality? I won't say it's a lot to put on him, but most guys don't have that, I would say. I don't think a lot of guys have that in them. I just don't. From any era, not just this era, but any era, I don't think a lot of guys have that.
Well, so, I mean, I think a lot of guys have the requisite skill set to be that, or, you know, to back up that if they had that mentality. And I'm a guy that loves parody. Like, I want to have the drama. You know, I want to be like, I don't know who's going to win this year. Excuse me, it could be anyone's game. And so I want to see, even though I'm not a Boston fan, like, I want to see Jason Tatum go get one. I want to see what it looks like when there's a bunch of champions out there and everyone's trying to figure out who's going to get the next one. Like, I want to see that. But you just the one thing that is way more limited than, you know, the resource that's the most limited in the NBA is time in the league. You never know when your career is going to be over. For a myriad of reasons. So I just think that you can't afford to let up at all. And when you look, especially across the aisle on the West, there's a lot of young superstars that are showing that mentality. And so Jason Tatum, this may be the very best opportunity that you're going to get potentially in the rest of your career. So you better strike while the iron's hot right now.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you there. We'll leave it there. Spence, I know you got stuff to get to. I appreciate you, man. It's been an hour. I went by real fast. I didn't even realize we was on that long. Like, I know the clock's there. I'm trying not to look at that.
You know? I just realized that, too. I'm sorry. If I talk too much, man, that's on me, bro. I've hollered at you in a minute.
That's why you're here, is because you talk too much. You know what I mean? You talked about, you know, you got to be able to talk. We talked about that earlier. So that's why you're here, because you can do that.
Well, I appreciate you, big dog, for sure.
Oh, man. But yeah, I appreciate, like I said, I appreciate you coming on. We're going to have to do it again soon. I know you've been busy, but y'all stay tuned for the Courtside Crossover. This was episode 135. I'm going to check y'all real soon. Peace.